Hey, everybody. How do you submit yourself to God's will when you don't know how it's going to happen? I believe with all my heart that God has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you, divine plan and purpose. A plan to prosper you and not to harm you. A plan to give you hope and future. Yes, He does. So when He reveals His divine will to you and for you, how do you submit to His will when you don't know how it's going to happen? Has the Lord shown you what to do in terms of your finances? And you go, I don't know how that's going to happen. I don't know. I want to follow God's will, but I don't know how to do that. I don't see how it's going to happen. Or you are looking at this pandemic fatigue, and the good news is that we're talking about the vaccinations, but when's that going to come to you? When? And you hold on to that hope, that lingering hope, but you don't know how it's going to happen. And some of you are saying, you know what? I don't even believe in God. But you wish, don't you? You wish that there is a divine plan for you, purpose for your life. And even though you don't fully believe in God, you are at least investigating about Jesus. So how will you be able to submit yourself under God's will when you don't know how? When my family and I were back in Michigan, this is 2007, God revealed His will for us. He made it very clear to us that His will was for my family and me to move to Edmonton and start a new church. He made it very clear. So we submitted ourselves under His will, under His authority, and we came here. And one of the things that we really had to nail down ASAP was getting a house. A house that will fulfill three purposes, three functions. House, a space to gather for the church, right? It was going to happen in our house, in our home. And two, space for my office. And third, home for my family. Okay? And back then, the housing market back in Michigan was very, very cold, and the housing market in Edmonton was very, very hot. This is 2007-2008, right? And we didn't have enough money to buy a house. So we said, God, Your will is for us to come here, start a church, and we need a house. We don't know how You're going to do this, but we are going to submit ourselves. You know how many homes we've looked at? Nope. Not 20, not 40, not 60, not 80. When it was all said and done, we have looked at 120 homes. And that's because our budget was not sufficient for the house that we needed. House for the church gathering, house for my office space, and house for the family. And it just wasn't going to work out. So how do you submit yourself to God's will when you don't know how? Let me help you to remember my answer to that question by saying this. Here's the statement, the goal and the theme of this storytelling of Christmas. When you don't know how, submit and allow. When you don't know how to follow God's will, simply submit yourself under His kingship and allow. Allow God to take you one step at a time. So I want to take you to a very familiar story. The most well-known, most famous story when it comes to Christmas concerning Mary. So let me take you to the book of Luke. And, oh man, this is a heavy book. Okay, where Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We're going to start from chapter 1, and I'm going to read from verse 26, and the story begins in this way. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, pause there, here's what's happening. Luke wants us to know that there is a story behind the story. We were told in the gospel according to Luke that Elizabeth, who was Mary's relative, she was well advanced in age. She was beyond her childbearing age. In fact, she could not conceive a child in her entire marriage. And all of a sudden, in her old age, an angel appeared before her and her husband and announced that, "Elizabeth, you're going to have a child." So this is in her 6th month of pregnancy. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, and that is the great King David, the greatest king in Israel. We call this the Davidic lineage. Fancy word. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And here's Mary's response. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Let me explain the emotions and the feelings that Mary was facing at the time. Luke writes, Mary was greatly troubled. In the original language, which was in Greek, she was experiencing the following things. She was acutely distressed. She was through and through perplexed as to what she heard. Because an angel of the Lord, not just any angel, what was his name? Gabriel. Listen, there are only 2 angels in the Bible whose names are known. And when the Bible reveals the name of the angel, you know what it means? It means a big deal. Something spectacular is about to happen. Something earth-shattering is going to occur. And Mary was head to toe, through and through, acutely distressed, perplexed. And then she said, "I am pondering, wondering what kind of greeting this might be, because this is none other than Angel Gabriel, magnificent, amazing being, a celestial host." So she was deeply troubled. What's happening? And why is it happening to me? Let's find out what happens after this, shall we? Verse 30, but the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." Do you know why the angel Gabriel said to Mary, "Do not be afraid"? Well, that's because Mary was afraid. You say, duh, but this is a profound, profound interjection. You and I don't think of angels the way we ought to. We are so immune and accustomed to watching movies about angels and reading stories, books about angels, and that's like, there's Michael, there's Gabriel, so what? Listen, the reason Mary was afraid was when she was faced with this angelic being who was a better being, holier, brighter, smarter than she is, that makes her afraid. Let me make it this way. Let me make my point more clearly. When you are confronted with the Holy God, you will be exposed as to your sin, as to your failures, as to your shortcomings. I know I would. Friends, I am a sinner. I am not right with God because based on my own merits, based on my performance, based on my obedience to what I'm supposed to do, I fall so short of God's expectation and His standard. I should be afraid if I were to see an angel. Now, how much more? How much more should I be afraid if I were to face none other than Lord God Almighty? Let's go on. The angel says to Mary, "Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God." And here comes the Annunciation. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. That is to say, he will be upon the throne of kingly lineage following the kingship of David. He's talking about messianic lineage. The Messiah, the Savior of Israel, will come from the line of David. And he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Now, Mary's concern becomes bigger and bigger. First, she was afraid of what kind of greeting this might be. And furthermore, the angel Gabriel is dropping the bomb on her. Not only is this a greeting from the Lord Most High God, but here's what's going to happen. You will have a child. And you know what's going to happen to this child? This child will be called the Son of the Most High. That phrase, the Most High, it is only reserved and used referring to God Himself, because there is no one higher than God. The Most High. He will be the Son of the Most High. There is no one greater than God. There is no one more exalted than God. There is no one more majestic than God. And this baby to whom you will give birth will be called the Son of the Most High. And not only that, he is going to be the Messiah in the lineage of King David, because the prophecy said, the prophecy of the Old Testament in the Bible said, I will send you a Messiah in the line of King David. And this child who is to be a king, he's going to rule over Jacob's descendants, meaning Israel. And not only that, his kingdom will last forever, ever, and ever, and ever. Whew! What an annunciation. What an announcement. What a great news. But it was too much for Mary. This would have been too much for you. This would have been too much for anyone. Here's Mary's response. Verse 34. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. She's asking the question. I want to submit to God's will for me. I don't think Mary was so much doubting as in, I don't believe this. But rather, I want to believe this, but show me how. Because this doesn't add up. You're talking about this conception and in birth of a king, but I am only a virgin. The exact translation there is this. I have not had sex with any man. I am a pure virgin. Help me, not with my disbelief. Help me with my belief. I don't see how it's going to happen. The angel responds by saying this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. And listen to these words. For no word from God will ever fail. No word from God will ever fail. Mary asks, how can this be? Help me. Help me with my belief. I want to submit to God's will, but I don't know how. Help me with this. The angel's response is, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. The Holy Spirit will infuse you. The Holy Spirit will, His presence will overtake you. Meaning this, this child that the angel spoke about is not going to be born out of the natural will of a husband, but by the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. See, this is where we are getting into the deity, the divinity of Jesus Christ. Not only is this a newborn king, but God Himself, the Son of the Most High. It is saying this child is the full, exact representation of God Himself. The Bible calls Jesus fully God, fully human. The Son of God, same equality with God Himself. In fact, Jesus goes on to say during His ministry, if you have seen the Father, seen God, then you have seen Me. Jesus makes absolutely clear case that He makes Himself equal with God. And that's because He is. And this is the good news. He will be called the Son of God. So the angel is giving the evidence that as the scripture of the Old Testament testifies and prophesied, this child will be the Messiah, and this Messiah will be divine God Himself, the Son of God. But then the angel gives another evidence as to how this is going to happen. He says, remember Elizabeth? She's not supposed to have a child, but it's a miracle, isn't it, Mary? That she too is having a child. For no word of God will ever fail. So here's what the angel is helping Mary with. You want to believe God's will? You want to submit yourself under His authority and His kingship? You want to submit to His will, but you don't know how? Here's how. Here's how. No word of God will ever fail. Because God spoke to Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah, and when He spoke His words to them, it comes to pass. And similarly, the words of God through the mouth of the angel, Gabriel is saying, no word of God will ever fail. Other translations say it this way, nothing is impossible with God. But this one is better because it's more literal. No word of God will ever fail. And here's Mary's response. I am the Lord's servant. She answered, may your will be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. I am the Lord's servant. The Greek word there is also slave. Mary is totally submitting herself to the will of God. Even though she does not know how, she says, I am your maid servant. I am your slave. You are my master. Your will be done. And when I don't even see how that's going to work, how that's going to unfold, I am still going to submit myself under your kingship and your will and your authority. And then she says, may your word to me be fulfilled. Now, friends, let me clarify. Mary is not giving credence to the angel's words. Hear me correctly. She is believing what the angel said only because angel said, these are the words from God Himself. I'm not bringing my own message. I'm simply a messenger, a herald. And that's what the word angel means, a messenger of God. And as such, he's simply giving God's message. And Mary is putting her confidence, her trust in the word of the Lord because no word of God will ever fail. Friends, how do you submit to God's will when you don't know how? Let me help you with that. When you don't know how, submit and allow. Submit and allow. Submit to what? Submit to God's kingship? Allow what? Allow God to work in you. The angel said to Mary, Mary, you are highly favored. You have found favor in God's sight. Listen to me very carefully. Mary is not a superhuman being. Should we respect her? Sure. Should we honor her? Yes. But she is a sinner just like you and me. She is not a holy person. She is not to be worshipped or adored or praised. Why not? Look at, the angel said, you have found favor, which means grace. God is showing grace to Mary. And the reason God is giving grace to Mary is because Mary needs God's grace. She, in her own effort, in her own performance, in her own obedience, she cannot meet the standard of God's law, the Bible. And that's why God has to show Mary much grace. I take comfort in that. And so does Mary. And that's why she is able to submit herself under God's will. She recognizes God is in control and she is a sinner in desperate need of His grace and favor. Friends, when God reveals His will to you, submit by saying, I need God's grace. And God is showing me His favor. I am highly favored, not because I deserve it, but because God is kind and gracious. When you don't know how, submit and allow God to work. Again, for no word of God will ever fail. Friends, we can submit because what God has said will always come to pass because God is powerful. He's the highest, the most majestic, powerful person in the entire universe. He's our King. In the person of Jesus Christ, He is ruling and reigning even right now when the world is going chaotic, when we are gripped with COVID fatigue. Remember this, Jesus is in control. Jesus is seated at the throne of God and He is ruling with His sovereign power. And God says, Jesus says, I love you, I love you. And I will be with you. Emmanuel, God with us. He is giving you strength. And therefore, as you put your trust in the Word of God, which will never fail, you are able to submit and allow God to work. Jesus, His kingdom will never end. He is ruling and reigning over our lives. So friends, how would you apply this? What is your nugget? How will you make it work in your life today? Has God revealed to you concerning your finances and you believe that this is from God, but you don't know how it's going to work? Submit and allow. God, thank you for your grace. I am a slave. I'm a servant of yours. Whatever you say goes. And I will put my hope in your word, which will never fail. That word, usually in the New Testament, the Greek word for English word is logos. But here in the story, it's rhema. It refers to the voice of God. It refers to when God's word is applied and lived out in our lives, then there's power. God's power is at work. It's exerting its force for your own good. So embrace that. Embrace God's word as in rhema. Has God revealed His will to you concerning how to mend your brokenness with your loved ones? And you don't know how to do that? Friends, let me help you with this. All Mary was told was what Jesus is going to do. All Mary was told is what's going to happen soon. When God reveals His will to you, He may not show every step of the way all at once, but He will show you one step, and that's all you need. You just got to obey God, submit yourself, and allow God to work in you by stepping into only that first step. And as you do so, God will show you another step, another step, another step. Let me conclude with this. No word of God will ever fail. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Because His kingdom will rule and reign over our lives forever and ever and ever again. Ever and ever. He is in control. So, will you receive Him? Will you have the courage to submit yourself to His kingship? Let's pray. Father in heaven, our God and Lord, we come before You now. First, I want to pray for my friends, maybe the skeptics, the doubters, and yet they are drawn to this place right now, right here. The fact that they are hearing this message of this sinner is a sign that you are revealing your will to them. So friends, on this day, say to Jesus, Lord Jesus, I follow you. Lord Jesus, I submit myself to you. Lord Jesus, give me the courage to follow you. And Father, I want to pray for the rest of us. Give us the courage to submit. Your plan is better than ours. Your purpose is better than ours. And we follow you, Lord Jesus. May your kingdom come. Your will be done. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.